Good morning. Our text for today is John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But the person who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly." So far the text. One of my favorite Far Side cartoons is, and I think it's it's usually voted one of the best, is this cartoon of a school. It's called Midvale School of the Gifted. And a boy has walked up the front stairs and is attempting to go into the door. You can tell he's a student because he has a book in his hand, and he's pushing on the door that says pull. Now, what makes that so funny, of course, is obviously this kid is not that gifted if he's pushing instead of pulling when it obviously says pull. Second reason is this has happened to me many times that I've tried to push in a door that says pull. And another thing is, too, is just that when you look at this cartoon, just in the way this kid is leaning into it, as if, you know, there is no other way to get into this door but my way, even though that way is never going to work. It's kind of funny in the cartoon. It's not funny in our text. As is often the case, Jesus is addressing these words not primarily to the crowd around him or to his disciples, but to the Pharisees. Now, this is a pivotal moment in the book of John. This is right before Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, and the end is near. You get the whole Holy Week and the death of Christ and his resurrection. This is right before that. And a lot of people are questioning who Jesus is and what's going on. And they have these questions, but of course the Pharisees really don't have any questions for Jesus. Not really. they pretty much know who he is, because since he is diametrically opposed to them, in everything they teach, he must either be demon-possessed or he's got to be crazy. You see, they knew that he wasn't the way, the truth, and the life. They knew the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus wasn't the truth, in their opinion. And they knew the life that had to be lived. And they also knew that living that life is what brought you into the kingdom of God. So that, in other words, they thought that was the way. They knew the way, the truth, and the life, and they couldn't have been more wrong. Because they thought it was the law of Moses, the teaching of the elders, and how well you kept these. Now, we have to keep in mind that the Pharisees were not the only ones who thought this. Everyone back then thought this. So let's look at this. Let's look at the Ten Commandments, or all the commandments God gave his people at Mount Horeb. They're holy, they're righteous, they're directly from God. They also have never made a person a child of God, and never even prove if a person is a child of God. God had already saved his people, Israel. He had brought them out of slavery. He had led them to the mountain. He had made them his people by his grace. It had always been the case. And now he gives them these commandments and says, "Since you are my people by grace, this is how I want you to live." Now, the Pharisees also looked up to the patriarchs. You know, these are great men of faith, great heroes of the faith. We need to follow their example because, look at them, they were so holy and righteous that God chose them to be leaders of his people. Nothing could be further from the truth. These were all, you know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, all flawed individuals, deeply flawed. Made lots of mistakes and lots of intentional sins. And yet God chose them. Not because they were holy, because they weren't. He chose them by grace, and he transformed their lives into lives of faith. And then you have the tradition of the elders. These are the elders' teachings on the commandments, telling us how we should be following them and following God's laws. Many of them are very helpful and very good. There's nothing wrong with them. But they were never meant to replace God's word. And they were certainly never made to replace God. Now, it's bad enough that the Pharisees felt this was the only way into the kingdom of God. And that, like this cartoon kid, they just pushed and pushed and pushed and leaned into a door that was never going to open because they were doing it the wrong way. That's bad enough. What's even worse is that they were leading others to do the same. You see, in the prophets, particularly Isaiah, they talk a lot about the bad shepherds that are shepherding God's people. These are the Pharisees, back then, 2,000 years ago. They're leading God's sheep astray. They are leading them helpless, and when trouble comes, they're going to run and leave them to die. And so in these prophets, God says he's sending not a bad shepherd, but a good shepherd. Not just a good shepherd, but it's going to be God himself who will lead and care for his people. Now in this text, on this day, 2,000 years ago, the good shepherd is confronting the bad shepherds, and he's saying to them what has always been the truth. So you have the first couple of verses here. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they that will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. In other words, Jesus is saying, I am the good shepherd. Then he goes on to say in verse 9 and 10, I am the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. In other words, not only is he the good shepherd leading people through the gate, he himself is the gate. He is the way into the kingdom of God. And then in later verses, verses 14 and 15, Jesus says how he is going to do this for his people. He will lay down his life for the sheep. So the good shepherd has come. God has come to his people, and there are two reactions. Some do not follow him. Why? Because they do not recognize his voice. And some do follow him. Why? Because they recognize his voice. Now, how could this be, this difference, take place? How could these people not recognize Jesus' voice? Have you ever gotten a phone call where you pick it up and you say, hello, and the other person says, yeah, it's me, and you have no idea who it is? This used to happen to me a lot when I started becoming a pastor, because I'm not really good with voices, and especially on the phone. And for a long time, I would try to go along with it, right? I would just kind of go along with the conversation until the context of the conversation would clue me in on who the person was. And so they say, well, so are we still on for Saturday? And I'd be like, I don't know. I'm still thinking. I have no idea who this is. I don't know what they're talking about, right? Or they'd say, hey, remember that time when we, and I'm like, I don't really remember that, but that was something else. Well, after doing that and being very humiliated and embarrassed for many, many years, I finally, when someone just says it's me on the phone and I don't know, I simply say, I have no idea who you are. Now, is that the problem we have in this text? That these people don't recognize the voice of the shepherd because Jesus really never introduced himself or identified himself properly? No. What's interesting about this text is between this text and the raising of Lazarus, you have this episode that takes place at Hanukkah. So this is probably not in chronological order, where Jesus again is in Jerusalem and he's speaking and teaching the people. And finally, the people say to Jesus, hey, if you're the Messiah, tell us clearly. And Jesus in chapter 10, verse, I think, 25, Jesus says, I did. I have repeatedly told you. And the Christian church has repeatedly been telling the good news of Jesus Christ, that he has died for our sin, rose from the dead, been doing this for 2,000 years. So why don't people believe? Why don't they recognize the voice? Because they intend to do things their own way. Just like that kid pushing on a door that says, Paul. They intend on doing it their own way. It's the only way that's going to work, and it doesn't work. But we are different. We are different because we recognize the voice of our shepherd, and we follow him. And that is not to our credit. That's to God's credit. Because again, by grace, like the patriarchs, he called us flawed people to be his own, and he transformed us and he gave us the ears to recognize Jesus' voice, the voice of our shepherd, and follow him. And what else would we do? As Peter said many years ago, to whom should we go? You have the words of eternal life. Now let's make it very clear. We are absolutely no different than these people that do not recognize the voice of Jesus. There is no difference between us and them in this respect. We all have been given the gift of life. We all sin and we all die. But when you don't recognize the voice of your shepherd, life is really meaningless. When you don't recognize the voice of your shepherd, well, then sin is something to be excused, or it's something to be rationalized, or to be embraced even. And if you don't recognize the voice of the shepherd, death is simply the end. But for us, life is a wonderful gift from a God whose love for us will never end. And sin is something that brings us shame and guilt. We don't embrace it, even though we do it. And yet we also rejoice that in Jesus that sin has been forgiven. And for us, death is not it's just the beginning. A beginning of a life that's been lived following the shepherd. I pray that Jesus continue to give us the faith to recognize our Savior's voice, the shepherd's voice, and to follow wherever he leads. In Jesus' name, amen.